Good morning and Shavua Tov, Shavua Mitsuyan. Here we are on Sunday and we are about to get started with Daf Vav Amud Aleph. We're on Daf Hey Amud Beis by the two dots. The Daf for today is Daf Vav. Number one, just a couple brief points. I hope that everybody was able to go through Shabbos' Daf. Enjoy Shabbos' Daf, a lot of more Agadata there. We'll have to find a real schedule for Shabbos as we move forward. Hopefully this week we'll have some more time to talk about it. Can I just ask, just as of now, Shabbos, if we have somebody who's able to give a Shabbos Daf, which we have a few people interested, and if anybody else is interested, please let me know. In terms of timing, does Friday night work by the learning at Shul? Is that best for everybody, or Shabbos morning best? What time would be best for everybody?
It all depends on him. Wherever he lives.
On the person. Okay. So, okay, great. So we'll be in touch. Just
personally, I would prefer Shabbos morning because I'm up early.
Shabbos morning, like 7:15.
Shabbos morning.
Shabbos
night, I have a tough time staying awake.
Great, excellent. Okay, great.
Shalom Zachar.
That's good to know. So whoever is able to give, then perhaps I'll let them know that Shabbos morning is the best slot, similar to what we do now, which is later, 7:15 to 8 instead of 6 to 6:45. And that can be a good way to go about the Shabbos morning shir. So, Bezrat Hashem, this upcoming Shabbos, there will be a shir later, and we'll work that out. We are back into, we're grounding ourselves today with more Gemara, less Agadata. And as we get started, it was just amazing. Shabbos morning, I was on a Shabbaton up north with a seminary. And Shabbos morning, I had... I was about to chazara on the Gemara, and I was nearby. It was in like the room where you know we were all about to eat. So there was a bus driver there, and like the security guys were there, the drivers were there, and they kind of like motioned for me to come over. Like, why don't you learn with us? You know, like let's learn together. I was like, okay, great. So I bring over my Masechta Sot. That's, you know, and I'm like, okay, let's learn Masechta Sot together. Some secular guys, and I was like, all right, let's do this. And I was about to start the Mishnah, just to kind of review these blot, and I was like, wait, I've got to give an overview of Masechta Sot. You can't just like dive right in Masechta Sot without any overview. And this is all in Hebrew, and I'm trying to give an overview about what the Masechta is about. And it was just amazing to recognize, when I was teaching this over to secular Jews, one of their reactions was like, what? This is what the Torah says. This is what happened to me. This is what I... And he just gave his whole explanation of what he would do now. He would take care of matters and he would put it in his own hands. I was like, whoa, okay. And I was like, okay, that's not what the Torah says, but that sounds great. It's just amazing to see that as we learn through Masechta Sot, and we're going to go through some of the details today, that the Torah prescribes how to act and what to do in every kind of situation, what types of people we should be, and the ways in which we should act. And just one message that I like to give over, especially to students, but in general, that some people might feel, isn't that stifling? Like the Torah says what to do in every single situation. I mean, in this situation, like a sota, bathroom, like every, like God tells us how to act wherever. It's like, how can we be ourselves? How can we be individuals? So I'll give over another sports analogy, is that take the game of basketball, for instance, that if somebody's going to play basketball, there's a set of rules to go by. If you carry the ball, that's traveling. If you shoot outside of the foul, you know, that's going to be out. If you push somebody, that's going to be a foul. There are rules in basketball that if one doesn't follow those rules, they're not playing basketball. It just won't work. That's not stifling, and that's not freedom to do whatever you want on the court, because that's not even playing a game. Playing the game in true freedom is being able to really, really play the game by the rules. There's a dress code, there's a way to act, there's a team, there's passing, there's positions to play. Each person's doing their thing, not better or worse. But once we can come together as a team and really play ball, then everybody can express their own individuality within the game of basketball. Nobody would say that, you know, whoever follows basketball, that basketball players are all like, they're all doing the same thing. Nobody would ever say that. Basketball players got their own uniqueness and their own style and the way they play and what they do. So too with Torah, so too with Judaism. In Meis Choletzes, by the two dots, about 12 or 13 lines up or so, on Hey Amud Beis, the Meis Choletzes. We're coming off the Mishnah, first Mishnah that we had. We're going to have the second Mishnah soon, Bezrat Hashem, but we're coming off the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah that we had in Masechta Sot last Wednesday morning. And that Mishnah ended with five words in Meis Choletzes Lo Misyabemes. What was the Mishnah referring to? What was the case? Anybody remember? We're on Daf Hey Amud Beis by the two dots. We're referring back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. v'meis choletzes lo misyabeves. So if anybody had a chance to do chazara over Shabbos, highly recommended. The Mishnah said clearly, what does a person do in this situation? There is the kinoi, there's the stira, two and one. Who says what? Rabbi Lezer says two and one. Rabbi Yeshua says two and two. We go through the process. But what happens v'meis? V'meis.
If the husband was makana her.
Excellent.
He dies.
Excellent Pesach.
Then she does.
Hopping right in, and you're getting started. V'meis means that if there was the kinoi and the stira, and then the husband died before she had a chance to drink the sota waters, so choletzas, she does chalitza, v'lo mesyabemes, she does not do yibum. Chalitza and yibum, another one of these concepts that are sometimes hard to understand at first glance, hard to explain, shortly also, or succinctly, but real depth and real beauty. It's butchered by Hollywood, though. There's a movie that I heard about years ago, which literally takes the case of a yavam, and it puts it into a whole love story, and they get married in the end, and they fall in love, and it's a whole thing. And I was like, what, you know, it destroys the very fabric of the kedusha of the Torah, and what it is that we're referring to. Sorry?
That's Hollywood for you.
Yes. Let's do the real thing. Amai, wait, why? Why does chalitza take place and not yibum? Tisyavim nami abumi. Do yibum. What's wrong with not having yibum? It's a case of suffix. But it's not a case of vadai. Sota's not a case of vadai. So why can't we just have yibum in this case? I'm Rav Yosef. We're about to have three answers within Rav Yosef. What does Rav Yosef mean? I'm Rav Yosef. Omar Kra. The pasuk says in Kisetze, right here in Parshas Kisetze, Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Beis. It's referring to when a man divorces his wife. Kimatza ba ervas davar, because something was wrong there. And then it says in the next pasuk, the yatsa mi beiso, and she will go out from his home, v'halcha v'haisa l'shacher, and she'll be to another man, right? So the pasuk says, back in the source here, v'yatsa mi beiso, she will leave the home, v'halcha v'haisa l'shacher, she'll be to another man. This is another case of ervas davar, that he found the ervas davar. So l'shacher comes the Gemara, to another man, v'loy l'yavam. That means that she will be to another man, but she won't be to the yavam. Why? Because as Rashi explains right down here, the third wide line in Rashi, or starting from the second wide line at the end, l'shacher tina save lo l'yavam, she'll be to another man. She'll get married to a different person, but not to the Yavam. Why not? She'eno acher eitz al nisuin shel zu. Because when the Torah says that that she will be to another person, v'haisa le'ish acher, that the Yavam is not considered an acher, because he's connected. Beautiful words right now in the Rashi, shemikoach nisui rishon, from the very strength of the first marriage, from a woman to this man, he nizkekes lo. The Yavam is connected to this woman. And therefore he has a connection, so he's not considered an acher. Amar le Abaya. Abaya responds, wait. Don't just say that without being able to explain. El miata. But now, back to that which you said, that he's not, that she's not able to be to the Yavam. Chalitza nami lo tibai. If you're going to totally sever the connection between this woman whose husband passed away, this widow, and the Yavam, and there's no Zika bond at all, that they can't do Yibum, take it a step further. They shouldn't even do Chalitza. Why have this half-baked solution of Chalitza, no Yibum? Just cut the connection entirely. Amarle, no. Ilu Ise Labal, because if the husband was alive, Miloy Bay Get, even in a regular case of Sota, a real get is needed. There's a real divorce that's needed. So too, even though they can't be married, there is still a Zika. There's still a connection bond between the husband and wife. That connection will still be needed to have a divorce take place. Hashanami Tibay Chalitza. So too here, in this case, where Yibum is required, Yibum can happen because of the half-baked bond in this marriage, but Chalitza is required. That was the first answer within Rav Yosef. The second answer of Ist Amri. The second answer within Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef, Rachamana Amar V'yatza Mi Beiso, as we just saw in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, V'yatza Mi Beiso, V'hais V'holcha, V'haiso L'shacher, she'll be to another man. Diloy Listere Levese, because she shouldn't destroy this marriage. The Gemara Andaf, Gimel, that was a stutter, Amud Beis, mentioned, as we saw in our second shir, the Gemara Andaf, Gimel Amud Beis, actually it was in our third shir, on Friday morning, we had that if a woman, Znus in a house, is really going to destroy the home, the very fabric of the home. We had the Ben Yoyada there also. It was beautiful. So the woman is going to destroy the fabric of the home if there is nus in the home. So therefore, the at amrit tisyabim nami abumi, how can there be yibum? How can we push a brother into this marriage if that home is going to be destroyed through this woman? That can't happen. Amalei Abaya responds, elamata lachar nami lo tinasei. Don't give me this, that yibum can't happen because we can't set her up on this date with the brother because she's going to destroy the home because of her previous actions. Let her not be even married to anybody else. Delo tistere lebese. She shouldn't be able to get married to anybody, not just the brother. Let's forbid this person to get married after that happened. Answers the Gemara, no. Amar Lei, wait. We can't go that far. Mikor mina le alei val karche. Are we going to now forbid this person to ever get married? If a guy decides to marry her, that's up to him. But the Torah can't encourage Yibum to take place. That's already taking it too far. Third answer within Rav Yosef. Ikadamri Amar Rav Yosef. Hakosav kro acher. She'ein ze ben zugo shel rishon. The Torah calls this person an acher. Again, v'halcha v'haysa le'ish acher. That she'll be to a different man. That this is not the connection of the first marriage. She'ze hotzi rishon mi beso. Because the first person sent this woman out of his home. She who performed this act that wasn't right, and the second person brought her in. Similar to the second answer. And you're going to say that this person should do Yibum? So therefore, this Acher is not doing the right thing by marrying her? How can that be that Yibum will take place? No. If she's married to somebody else, and then she dies without kids. Let's say this woman gets married. First person, right? She has adultery, okay? She gets divorced. She then marries a totally random person. In that second marriage of hers, where she was fine, where she was great, a Yibum situation came up. Her husband, Rachman Athlan, passed away. They didn't have kids. The brother has to marry her. Would the Torah require her to have Yibum? Yes, right? It's a regular case. The past, let bygones be bygones. You know, that's between her and Hashem, but it's not that she has this classification that she's going to destroy every home she's in. That's the first home that she was in. So again, what happens if she's married to somebody else, totally other person, after this first divorce, not the brother, and she dies though, and the husband dies without kids? Are we not going to say that she should have yibum because the Torah describes this person as an acher? So acher is all of a sudden this bad person, and because that was a bad person who married her because she wasn't so good on the first marriage, then all of a sudden yibum won't take place. No way. Because by the second person, maybe she was like this greatest baal chesed, and everything was great in the second marriage, so we can't say that will not take place. Rav Amar, and fourth answer, we had three answers within Rav Yosef why we can't do yibum, but we could do chalitza. The fourth answer is going to be as follows. Rav Amar, again, why we do chalitza and we don't do yibum? Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Im nesra b'mutter la. If she becomes usur to her husband through the sota process, the usur la lo kol shekein, then wouldn't she for sure be usur to the person who she was usur to while she was married? Again, who is that? The brother, right? Because she can't marry the brother. While the husband's alive, there's no way to marry the brother. That's totally not allowed. So therefore, again, im nesra b'mutter la, if she becomes usur to the husband through the sota process, b'mutter la lo kol shekein, then of course she can't be married to the brother. This is a very sticky situation right now. And the husband dies. Ah, no. You can't just be married to the brother. Amar Lei Abaya, wait. Amar Lei Abaya, elamayata, kohen gadol shekideish es ha'almana. Fascinating case. There's going to be, by the way, on this daf, I think about three times we have like negative press about a kohen. This is like the first time it comes up. Negative press about a kohen, or situations that a kohen can be in which are not so good. Here's the first. Kohen gadol, shekideish es ha'almana. A kohen gadol that marries a woman, which we know he's not allowed to. A kohen gadol who marries a almana, a widow, he's not allowed to. He must marry a besula, a virgin. Umeis. Now, what happens if the kohen gadol dies? The yeshlo ach, kohen hediot. And he has a brother who's a kohen hediot. Fascinating. What would you say? Would even take place there or not? For those who did not see the next few words in the Gemara. Again, the kohen married her incorrectly. He's not allowed to marry her. But the brother is allowed to. The brother, a kohen hediot, is allowed to marry an almana, but a kohen hediot can't marry a grusha, a divorcee. So for the brother, she's okay, right?
She's not mono, yeah.
But that's fine for the brother.
Right.
Should you impede twice? Amazing case. 6:15 a.m. Let's get thinking. Anybody have any answers? It's a 50-50.
I would say no.
You would say no. Why?
Because it's still fine.
Coin's for the brother, it's fine. It a coin's allowed to marry an amana.
It wasn't an official marriage. Like,
good, good. I think that it is considered official enough that they're going to actually need a divorce because they do get married. It does perpetuate something. You're right, the child becomes a chalal. So you're right. You're all right. I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate. Lo tisyavim, they should not do yibum. Why? Again, similar words to what we had before. Im nestra b'mutterla, because if she's usher to be with the husband, literally b'mutterla, the husband, but usher lo kol shekin, then of course she can't be with the brother. It doesn't work that way. Like, as you're saying, if that marriage doesn't work, you can't start having yibum, which could theoretically work, even though in concept, right? Says Gemara, wait. The Gemara now tries to clarify because those words weren't necessarily right. In Nesra, b'mutterla, Nesra, what do you mean? She becomes usher? We just use the words im nesra b'mutterla, which literally means what? To who? But she doesn't become usher to him. She was always usher to him. What is it? If she becomes usher to him. You're right, that worked in our first case, because she became a sota in a tahor marriage. But all of a sudden here, im nesra b'mutterla, this is the word, im nesra, usher b'kaima. There was never a time when they were allowed to be married. She was always usher to him. And therefore, right, this is unlike our case of Sota, where they were originally allowed, and then the brother came in, so we can't parallel these cases. So according to Rava, what's his fourth answer? Mutter law, usher lahu, right? Just explaining the question, she's always ushered him. Ela'ashis kohen. So what's the case here? It must be the following. Ela'ashis kohen shenensa umes. A very, very sad case in halacha. Ashis kohen shenensa. If the wife of a kohen is raped totally against her will, it's a tragic halacha, that even though it's totally not her fault, the couple must get a divorce. This is unlike an Eishes Yisrael. This is very unique to a Kohen. So again, El Eishes Kohen Shenensa, a wife of a Kohen is raped, umeis, and then the husband dies. Fascinating. V'yeshlo ach chalal. This brother's got a Kohen brother, but not really a Kohen brother. He's got this quasi-status of a Kohen because he's a chalal. A chalal is a Kohen that's void of the Kedusha status of what it means to be a Kohen. Makos da Beis. Anybody remember Makos da Beis? The first Mishnah there. We talk about a chalal. So what happens if he's a chalal? Should he do yibum or not? Lo tisyavim. Should he not do yibum? Again, now we use the words im nesra b'mutterla. If she becomes usher to her husband through the rape, but usher lo lo kol shekin, and to the brother who she's always usher to, shouldn't that be allowed? Says the Gemara, right now, ones b'Yisrael mishra shari, that the rape victim by Yisrael is totally allowed. That means that, fascinatingly, again, v'gabi dahai leka isura. Again, by the brother, by the chalal, it's okay. Fascinating. The brother's a chalal. So a rape victim is fine to him. He doesn't have the kedusha status of a kohen. Isn't that amazing? So to the brother who's married to this woman, he's no longer allowed to be with her after she gets raped. There must be a divorce. Then he dies all of a sudden, the chas v'shalom. Right? Now what happens? Can the brother, can the chalal do yibum with him? So that now parallels the case of im nesra b'mutter la. Im nesra b'mutter la. So, okay, just taking a brief step back, we had four answers. These four answers, three by Rav Yosef, one by Rava, all clarified the question of what? Why we can't do yibum and we must do chalitza. That wraps up our first Mishnah that we had on Daf Beis. Let's start the second Mishnah in Masechta Sota, the Vav Amud Aleph, about 15 to 20 lines down. Says the Mishnah, the Elu Asuros Melechol B'Truma. These following people are usher to permanently eat truma. That means that there's a real issue here. Cases that come up, atypical kind of cases. Says the Meir in Tosafot Shas, very importantly, it was really bothering me, I saw this brought down in the bottom of the art scroll, that they can't stay with their husbands also. There's a problem in this marriage. It's not just the truma, they're not allowed to be with their husbands also. Either because their guilt is established, or because we can never prove their innocence. The Sota waters, generally, we're going to have on today's daf more, Sota waters generally proves their innocence, but in these cases, maybe we're at a point where we can no longer prove their innocence, therefore the husband and wife have to get divorced. The marriage won't work.
So why does the Mishnah refer to it as Ashkachal
B'Shul? It's a very good question. I was racking my head over this late last night, and I'm not sure. It seems like others argue then, right? I mean, it seems like others might say that they are able to marry. Let's read the Mishnah. Keep that question in mind. It was on my mind. I'm not sure. I was trying to see, like, who else... is there anybody that argues with a Meiri and those Shans and says that they are able to stay married, you just can't eat truma? What kind of marriage is that? You stay married, can't eat truma? And listen to what these cases are. For them to be married sounds really, really far-fetched. These following cases, the women are forbidden to permanently eat truma, and at least according to the way we're learning it, that marriage has to end too. Ha omra tamea ani lecha. What happens if the woman admits, the sota process takes place, there was kinoi, there was stira, and all of a sudden she says, I'm tamei. Like, bad act happened. Number one. Two, v'shebo edim shehi tamea. Or edim came to say she was tamei. Let's talk about that in a moment. Or Adam came to say she was tamei. What's problematic with that?
Without kinoi and stira, was talking about?
With kinoi and stira.
And then it's Adam in plural.
So we can't get...
So presumably it's like he says.
Adam came.
We can't give them the mime, right?
We can't give her the mime, right? But if Adam comes, then shouldn't somebody be put to death? That's our whole discussion last week. One aide is going to say she can't eat truma, and she can't be with her husband, right? We are able to ba. That was our whole thing about ba. Ba needs just one witness. And that means that if one witness comes to say after kinoi and stira that she was mazana, that marriage is done. Does aidim come? Let's discuss that soon, but the Gemara is going to clarify exactly when these aidim come. The omra... Any shosa, or if she's vehomeris any shosa. They go on this circuitous route to the Beis Hamikdash, and it's very intense. And they try to convince her not to drink the water. They try to convince her to admit what happened. She says, "I don't want to drink the waters." She doesn't want to drink these waters. Vishabala, as we can see in that case, right? We can never prove her innocence, so the marriage has to end. Vishabala ba'ala baderach, or husband and wife are on the way to Yerushalayim, and then they are with each other, and therefore. If that takes place, then she cannot drink the sota waters also. Okay, what happens, lumdus for a moment. The Rambam poses Shiloh. What happens if one aid comes after she drank the mesota? She drank the mesota. Nothing happened yet. She didn't blow up yet. Can she stay with her husband? One aid comes after she drinks. Our whole thing with Ba was before mesota. One aid comes afterwards. Can she drink or not? Explain, please, Shalom. Awesome. Explain. No, explain, please.
Because the whole stuff went away.
Good. So what does that mean?
That she's a regular woman.
Oh, and therefore one would work or won't work? Oh, says the Rambam. Like, Shalom, beautiful. Shalom says something. Rambam, Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. So the Rambam says, beautifully, that there was the whole thing why one worked. Ba. Right? Ba v'lo b'kinu v'lo above the lobastira, we had that whole diak over the last couple of days that we brought up a number of times, was because there was a raglaim ladavar. There was circumstantial evidence that this act took place. So we were going to then allow one to clarify what happened. We discussed a lot with people even after the shir, that it's not that one is being machria, like this is exactly what happened, but because there's such weight on the side of that this probably happened, and certainly even if it didn't happen, like there were bad things, that stira was not allowed by the Torah. So if one aid comes, we're going to believe that aid to perhaps shed light on clarity of what took place. But after she drank the waters, she goes scot-free. Like, she has clear status again. And therefore, one aid, we need two aid, we even need to aid them to establish anything afterwards. So therefore, that won't work. Feel free to see the Tosas here. V'shebola aidim v'amru shenitma. Tosas seems to be questioning as to whether or not that is the reality. He doesn't exactly explain. By the way, it's the Mishnah Lemelech which explains this diuk that Shalom just said. Okay, says the Gemara, let's read further. Amr of Amram, Hamilsa Amarlan, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes posts or said the following thing, and this line of Rav Sheshes is literally going to take us, Amir Hashem, to the top of Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Basically, this entire daf is going to be this line of Rav Sheshes. What Rav Sheshes tells us? V'anher lon ayin mi'emelas nisen. And it illuminated our eyes from our Mishnah. So the following line of Rav Sheshes was so amazingly powerful and bright that it illuminated what the Mishnah really meant to say. By the way, very, very interesting, I heard this from Rav Osner. It's amazing the words that the Gemara uses. It illuminated our eyes. What was unique about Rosh Hashanah?
He was blind.
He was blind. Just a very interesting deal in the words. He was blind, so his words lit up our eyes. Anyways, just an interesting thing to think about. Sota, Sheyesh Lo. I'd like to try to find, by the way, in statements of the Amoraim in the Tanaim, things related to who they were and in their personality. So if there's a Machlokes, for instance, between Reish Lakish and between Rabbi Yochanan, you know, there's so much about their personalities, about what sometimes drives the message that they're getting at, that it's cool to see it, that it's not just name, but their personalities and their worlds and their lives, and it oftentimes drives the Machlokes and what they hold. So, Sota Sheyesh Lo Eidam B'Mdina Sayam. What happens if there was a Sota? Okay. Now she actually, there was Kinoi, there was Stira, and there are Adim as to what she did, taking a nice vacation in Australia. Does the water work? Again, those we don't know that there's Adim, but the reality is that there were Adim. To the what? To the Tumah. To the third step. Does the water work to check her? Sister of Sheshes? No. Ein Hamayim Botkinosa.
Even if we don't know that there were Adim.
Correct.
So we think she's innocent.
Correct. Now, Ellie, you're driving really the oomph of what this daf is all about. Because wait, all of us, we had this beautiful picture in our minds. A woman's going to walk towards the base of Mikdash, and you know, she's going to drink the water, and if her stomach blows up right there, then she's, you know, she is guilty. And if she's going to go home and live, you know, live happily ever after and have a child, then she's innocent. But it seems like that there's a case or two that's coming up that even if nothing happens to her, she's still guilty. That their marriage is going to go back to happening, right? Because if some of them blow up, but then all of a sudden, we don't really know if she's pure or not.
We learned earlier that it won't work if actually the husband was actually committing acts prior to her drinking the water.
Excellent. And we're also going to learn. We're also going to learn on the bottom here from another Amara here that also, if she has chusim, then it can also push it off, which is fascinating. So that's part of the discussion that we're about to have in the Gemara, how that could work, challenges against it. Let's also feel like our eyes are going to be illuminated. So the shteich edem b'mdina sayam ain amayim bod kenosa. The waters do not check her. My time b'damar krav v'nistra v'hinitama v'ed ain ba. So she had stiroi. She had stira. She had yichud. Then she became tamei v'ed ain ba, and there was no aid. What did we learn about v'ed ain ba? We learned 2 and 1 and 2 and 1. So Rashi brings a very important. There's a very important Rashi here that says, first the last of the skinny lines v'ed ain ba. Afal gav de dershin el ill eidin ba nemon besota leid echad nemon besota, and we learned it from this word for eidin ba. Ulasota vadois lo tishta, that even though there's a sota vadois, she doesn't drink the water. Ein mikra. These are the 4 or 5 words here that we should circle or underline. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. That even though we already learned these words for something else, we learned 1 and 2 from these words for eidin ba, and eid there had to mean. We had the other word where aid echad meant that aid was 2, but generally aid means 2. Right, great. The aid ein ba. Deleka diyada ba. That means that Rosh Hashanah says that because the Torah uses the words aid ein ba, there was no aid in it. And really, pashtos there means that there's no aidim at all. Deleka diyada ba, then there's nobody who knows about it. La fukeha, which comes to exclude this case, to ika diyada ba. Because there are those who know about it, and therefore, if there's somebody that knows about it, it won't work. Amazing. Now, how does that illuminate our eyes from the Mishnah? Because that's going to say, because our Mishnah said, what happens if Adam come that she is Tame? As I said, we're going to explain those words. What happens if Adam came that she's Tame? Then she does not eat the Truma, said the Mishnah. To also Adam Amas. But when are these Adam coming? What's the case? Right? We were saying Adam are coming? Shouldn't she get killed? Like, when's this process? If you're going to say that the Adam came before she drank the water, Zonahi, that's a real case. She's a full-on Sota. That's not good. El the Buster Dishtai. That means that it must mean that the Adam came after she drank the waters. That's only where there's a novelty here. That's only where there's a chiddush here, being able to teach it. So the Adam came after she drank the waters. That's where the Adam are believed. Now, Yamar Bishlam, Enamain Bokinosa. If we're going to say, like Rav Sheshes, that the water does not check her, meaning that the water, even if she drinks the water, it won't help because there are Adam Shapir, then this line is very good from the Mishnah. Eli Amrit, Maim. But if we don't hold like Rav Sheshes, that even if there are Adim from abroad that are not around but haven't come yet, then the waters will check her. Tigloy Muslim Afreya, the Sadi Shakrin, you know. Then wait. What happens if Edom aren't there and she drinks the Sota waters and then Edom have to come later because the water worked, right? So it seems like that these Edom, hold on a second. El Labasar Dishtoi. So it must mean that the Edom are believed, right? And the Amrit Bishlama Enamain Boknoson, if we're going to hold like Rav Sheshes, that the waters do check her Shapir, that's going to be very, very good. I mean, that's going to work, and that's why the water didn't work to blow her up. But if it's going to be the other way around, Eliyamar, mine, Bodkinosa, but if we hold, like, the other opinion that says that where we don't hold a Rav Sheshes, and the waters do work, mine, Bodkinosa, Tigloi, Milsa, Lemafreya, the Sadi Shakran, this is going to show that the Edom are not truthful Edom. So, the response of Yosef, Olam Emelcha Maim Bodkinosa. It must mean that what are we referring to here? That the waters are going to check her. That means that even if Edom are overseas, the water is going to check her as to whether or not she was a Sota or not. V'ha Emor Zchus Tolaba. So what can then happen here? What about our Mishnah? How can we delay the fact that her stomach blows up? Because we have a concept called Zchus Tolaba. That zchus tolaba means even in addition, another case, even in addition to the husband also having issues, even in addition to Aiden being overseas, if she has certain zchusim, then it can delay the process of her going through that very ugly sota blowing up process. The makamiflagi, so what is the machlokis here that we're referring to, where Rav Shesha says that our mission is a proof, and Rav Yosef says that our mission is not a proof because she could have these chos that are tola, b'misnavna de Rebbe. It's like the process, the sota process of Rebbe. What's the sota process? The tnan. On daf chaf beis, we learn this out in an upcoming Mishnah, Rebbe Omer, zchus tola b'mayim hamarim. That her chos are going to help her with mayim hamarim, with the bitter waters. Which means, again, that if she is guilty in that process, then that could take a while for the actual stomach blowing up process to take place. V'eino yoledes, v'eino mishabachas. But she's not going to have the ease of birth or the schus of having a baby like a sota does if she's innocent. But rather, the death is going to set in slowly. Nevertheless, she's going to have the same death as a regular sota. Rav Shesha Savar. Now back here, what does Rav Shesha say? Bein l'Rebbe u'bein l'Rabbanon have misnavna. No. Whether it's like Rebbe, or whether it's like the Rabbanon, who are the authors in that Mishnah, in Daf Chav Beis, it seems, but there's a machlokas there as to whether or not there are Zchusim Tolaba or not. So we always say that the case is that she'll die this death with her health deteriorating. But here the Edom are overseas, maybe that's why the water didn't work. So again, it's still a proof to Rav Sheshes here from our Mishnah that if the Edom are not around, then that won't work. Master Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi now has a machlokas about the statement of Rav Sheshes, right? Now let's go back to the statement of Rav Sheshes, back to the statement on top. Master Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Rav Shimi Nomar, Ein Zchus Tola B'mayim Hamarim. That Zchus are not Tola in Mayim Hamarim, and therefore Rav Shimi argues with what we said before, that even if she does have Zchusim, they won't work. V'imata Omer Zchus Tola B'mayim Hamarim. If you're going to say that Zchus are Tola in Mayim Hamarim, Madcha Tosa Mayim. If ne kola noshim ha-shosos, v'ata mosi shema la toros, sh'shosu ein omrim t'meos hayu. This is the line that we've perhaps all been feeling for the last few minutes. Is that, wait, if we're going to say that Zchusim are going to be tola for a woman who has zchusim, and therefore when she drinks the water, they won't take effect right away, but they're going to take effect in a while, at some point down the road, then any innocent woman who ever drinks the meisota, people will say, oh, maybe she's just not blowing up because she has some zchusim, but really she is guilty. And therefore, anytime anybody drinks, they'll never have a motzi shem tov afterwards. Oh, her husband will never feel confident getting back into this marriage because maybe she has a schus somewhere. Maybe she opened up her home sometime. You know, that's great. So therefore, how does that ever work? Nemisa, and if Rav Sheshes is right, again, Rav Sheshes line, the beginning of our Gemara, that if there are Edom overseas, the waters won't work. Yesh l'Edom b'dina sayam nami. So too, if Edom are overseas, but nobody knows about them, that means that the process won't happen. Again, that same problem that we have. El Shalom, Zchus before, right? So therefore, so what do we see? That both these cases, if we're going to say that Zchus is Tola, if we're going to say that if Edom are in the Dinas Hayam, then the Sota process doesn't happen, then right now we are being Motzi Shem Ra on any woman who ever drinks the Mei Sota. And that's very problematic. It was bothering to me as I was learning this, because all of a sudden we have this beautiful nace process that's taking place. If she is guilty, then great, we'll know it. If she's innocent, great, we'll know it. But poor husband in that case, you know, his wife's, you know, she drinks and all of a sudden everything's the same. Okay, you know, but he still hasn't get back into this marriage. It says, wait, Rabbi Shimon Kamrat? Are we going to put this against Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Yischus are not Tolu B'Me'amarim on the first white line? Rabbi Shimon, Midischus lo Talia, Edim Nami lo Tolu. With Rabbi Shimon, what we're saying is that the Schusim are in Tola, so therefore, by the Edim, they also won't be Tolu. Again, Rav Shesha said his opinion in the name of the Rabbanon, who say that it's a Schus, that the Schus does help the Sota, and we are not concerned And Rav Shesha says that we are not concerned for the ramifications of a woman who is innocent. But it's Rabbi Shimon here who seems to say that that doesn't matter. Mosav Rabba. Again, let's challenge Rav Shesha. Ve'elu Shimon Hosein Nisrafos. The following women who are bringing the Karban Mincha is burned next to the pile. By the regular Sota, there's a Karban Mincha. It's a flour carbon that's brought on the Mizbech. The following Karbanos are burned, not on the Mizbech, but on a pile next to the Mizbech, because something's wrong in the Karban Mincha itself. Let's see what those are. Again, Ve'elu Shem Minchosan Nisrafos. The following Karban Minchos are burned next to the Mizbech and not on the Mizbech. Why? What cases are these? Omer's tamei ani. What happens if the woman says tamei ani? As Rashi says right there on top, shehodasa lebeizdin al kakula. She admits to Beizdin that she was wrong. Show you ma'ainin alei, because they are forcing her. They're trying to get the truth out of her before she goes through this drinking water process. Kidatanya masisin. As we're going to learn actually tomorrow in a Mishnah tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, Monday morning. The Shabola Edom, she tamei. Or the second case, what happens if Edom came that she was tamei? Says Gemara way. In those cases, the mincha's brought not on Mizbeach, but right next to Mizbeach, it's burnt. The also Edom Emas. When are these Edom coming? So this says Gemara, Ilema Mikame de Tiktosh. If we're going to say that the Edom are coming before the Karban Mincha is sanctified, it's put in the Kli Shares Tepuk L'Chulin, then send this mincha, this flour, out to Chulin. Let it go be used to bake some flour, to bake some of these cookies at home. Why burn it next to Mizbeach? What must it be? Elo lebusar kadosh. It must be after the Edom came, after it was already put in the klisharis. Says Gemara, Iyamrit bishlam amayin bod kenosa. If we're going to say against Rav Sheshes that the water does check her regardless, even if there are no Edom overseas, Alma, what do we see? Bas mikdash umekarefi. Then she must bring the carbon. V'chi kadosh meikara shaper kadosh. And when she brought at the beginning, then it's a good bringing of the carbon. Umishum hachi minchasa nisrefes. And it's for that the mincha was burned on the side of the Mizbeach. That means that even if there are Edom overseas, we see, right, according to Sheshes, even if there are Edom overseas, which means that the water won't work, but still the mincha is fine to be brought, because when they put, there's point A and there's point B, the mincha's put in a kli sharis. Is it sanctified or not? So if it's sanctified in the Kli Shares, then Rav Sheshes is right that if the Edom overseas, then they are able to come late. Eliyamer ain mine bokenosa. But if we're going to hold, sorry, that was against Rav Sheshes, but if we're going to hold it within Rav Sheshes, that the waters do check her, tigali milsa lemafreya, then it's going to reveal what happened before, and dechi kodosh mekar betos kodosh. That means that when they originally sanctified this flower for the Karban Mincha, it was sanctified Betos. It was sanctified by mistake. It was sanctified without any validation. And therefore, v'tepik l'chulin, let it go out to chulin, because there's no kedusha to it. Because when it was sanctified, it wasn't supposed to be sanctified, because there were Edom overseas, and when they came late, that was totally okay. As Rashi says, v'tepik l'chulin, a few lines down from where we are, last line in the Rashi, the hektush tos ain't a hektush. Hektush that's put to the test there is not considered real hektush, and therefore, let it go straight out to chulin. Two answers, Amar Yehuda midiskarta. Rav Yehuda Midiskarta says, Kagon Shizinsa Bazar. No. Fascinating case. What happens if she didn't become a Sota yet, right? But in the Azara, she became a Sota after they went to the Beis HaMikdash. Her husband thought she was already, but she wasn't. She was innocent. But in the Azara, somewhere there she did. So therefore, when they put the flower into the Kli Shares, it was really sanctified. But then before they had a chance to be Makrevit, she became a Sota. Dichi karosh meikara shaper karosh. Again, according to Rav Yehuda Midiskarta, it's possible that this happened, that the Kli Shares really was Mekadeshet, because she was innocent. But all of a sudden, after she became actually became Uriel Sota and the Radim, so that did not work. Maskel Rosharsha, Valo Pirche Kunam Lavanosa. You know, like our eyes are going like this, like what? Like she's in the base of Mikdash. The Pirche Kuna are bringing her to like the next stage. Like, what is going on here? How can she become a Sota in that vicinity? Says the Gemara, again, the second line, which not great about Kohanim, Shazinsami Pirche Kahuna Atzman. It could be that the Pirche Kuna themselves, one of them, was Mizana with her in a Sota kind of way. And it could be that the husband even told her at the beginning, don't have Yichud with that guy. And that guy happens to be one of the young Kohanim. And then when she gets to the Beis HaMikdash, all of a sudden she has Yichud with him and she is Mizana with him. Ravashi Amar Kigon Shenitzcha Lim Kaveh. Or no, what happens if, even if it wasn't from the Pirche Kuna, well, we don't have to look that way at the Pirche Kuna. But she can still slip away. She can still be a little bit devious and say, oh, guys, I got to slip out for a few months. I got to go to the bathroom. Do Pirche Kuna keep a Tolila? A rhetorical, you know, kind of question. Do the Pirche Kuna, like, kind of, like, keep her in chains? They close her down. The kippa, you know, we wear a kippa on our heads. It kind of closes us in, right? Do they kind of close her? No, she still has some freedom within the Beis HaMikdash compound itself, and therefore it's possible that she became a Sota there. And again, that shows that what? That even that the mincha can become kadosh when it's put inside the klisharis, but before it's actually brought, before it's makriv, that's where it's possible that she became a Sota. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, another defense of Rosh Hashanah, Amrinan Meikara. No, really they came to testify about an earlier snus. It wasn't that the snus took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Udkamah tepuk l'chulin, and that which we said about that it should go to chulin, you're right, that it should go to chulin, because really there were edim abroad, and therefore when it was put inside this klisharis, there was no validity to it, because there were edim that were there to see it originally. Midrabbanan, gizera shema yomer motzin miklisharis l'chul. No, that won't work. Why? Because we want to make sure that when we put something into a klisharis, that thing is going to be makriv. Even if it's not makriv on the mizbeach, it'll be burned next to the mizbeach. Why? Shema yomer motzin miklisharis l'chol. We're worried what people say. What people say, oh, you could put flour inside of a klisharis, and then you could bring it outside the Beis HaMikdash and bake your cake with it for Shabbos? Oh, I'll do that too with my mincha that's upcoming. No. So again, within Rav Sheshes, that's fine. And according to Rav Ashi here, it's beautiful. Sorry, according to Rav Papa here, it's a defense of Rav Sheshes to say that even if there are Edom overseas that see it, when the flower is put into the klisharis, it's put in without any validity, because the Edom will come, and therefore there was no validity to this carbon, this carbon mincha being brought. Nevertheless, we still want to burn it. We still want to burn it somewhere so that nobody will say, oh boy, what's going on with that carbon mincha. The next like 15 lines or so are going to quote a long brisa about other things that people might say. So let's get started there. That'll bring us right up to the Mishnah there tomorrow. I just wanted to say that hearing all this about Kohan and what Kohan might be doing, either marrying the wrong person or, you know, all these things that can happen in the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm a Kohen, I felt like it's just a good reminder, a good little musr as we go through our day, that no matter who we are, where we are, what kind of labels we have, and where we come from, we should always be careful about what we're doing, and we should be doing the right thing. And Baruch Hashem, to wake up before 6 a.m. to learn Torah is certainly the right thing to do. And it's great to start another week of learning Torah together. And I wish us all a great day and a Shavua Tov.